Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Chris Foster. A lot of people use psychedelic drugs to get high. Before most of them became illegal in 1968, they were researched as treatment for mental health disorders. Retired Navy SEAL Marcus Capone says one of those drugs, Ibogaine, given to him at a clinic in Mexico on Veterans Day 2017, changed and in some ways saved his life. He was dealing with a brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder, and now with his wife Amber works to help other vets get psychedelic therapy themselves. They were on the Fox News Rundown podcast to talk about it. That conversation was edited for time. This version is not. Thanks for listening. Consider subscribing. If you are a subscriber, thanks. Now, Marcus and Amber Capone on the Fox News Rundown Extra. All right, let's get going. Marcus and Amber Capone, vetsolutions.org. Marcus, let me just start with your military career. Did you join after college? Is that what happened?
I did. Yeah, I graduated from Southern Illinois University, and I played football for Amber's dad. And I graduated, and 6 weeks later, I was in boot camp.
Got it. And then to fast forward even more, you became a Navy SEAL. Tell me about your deployments.
Yeah, I did... seven tours, OEF, OIF. Majority of my time was at SEAL Team 10 and SEAL Team 6. And in 2010, decided to hang it up. And I became a first phase SEAL instructor, BUDS, BUDS instructor. And then I ran SEAL qualification training for 2 years. I was the head of close quarters combat.
Okay, there. And then Marcus, you retired in 2013. You had a medical retirement?
I did.
Okay. Even before you got out, I mean, you were dealing with PTSD and this brain injury, and you were looking, you weren't one of these guys who suffers in silence. You were looking for help while you were still active duty, right?
Yeah. Even the brain injury, we call it a mild TBI because it's really, MTBI. And at the time, I think all of us were avoiding the term PTSD. I still avoid the term today. I don't like to be labeled with the post-traumatic stress label, but I was definitely struggling with all the symptoms that fall underneath those categories. So I was starting to become really agitated, angry, depressed. I wasn't sleeping well. I was just going through a host of, we had lost a lot of individuals from 2006 to 2010, some very close friends. And, I was just getting tired mentally, physically. I started seeing some therapists during that time. And I was actually put on my first antidepressant in 2010. And I stayed on prescription medicines, a host of them, upwards of 10. Through 2017, both SSRIs, SNRIs, mood stabilizers, sleep medication, focus medication. Once you start on that path, it's difficult to stop.
Yeah, and you were you were taking an active role in your treatment, Amber. I'm sure you were there too, and you probably thought once he was done, okay, look, he's out, fresh start, new life, he'll feel better now.
I definitely thought that. I definitely thought that. And we actually attended a retirement ceremony for a SEAL that Marcus served with recently. And I, just sitting there and seeing this family, this precious family that has given so much, and how excited they were to finally get their dad back, their husband back, and knowing the struggle that we went through on the other side of service, it really is a time in someone's life where you should be so excited and so optimistic about the future. And I was that, but there were no resources on the other side. So it was enormously challenging.
Let me fast forward from this dark tunnel to 5 years ago, Veterans Day 2017. And you said everything changed. Was it just like a switch?
This is for me, I assume.
Yeah.
I came to a point where I was just frustrated. five different brain centers, a multitude of prescription meds. And this was, we seemed to think it was the last ditch effort. I tried hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I've tried TMS, multiple treatments for both. And, you know, nothing seemed to work for me. And, you know, the more I read about psychedelic medicine, the more it made sense that these are medicines that you know, are used for recreation, just like anything else can be used. But these are medicines first. And so the more research I did, the more it made sense. And so I just, you know, I took a chance and I went to a reputable clinic in Mexico. And, you know, I hate to use the word panacea, but I mean, the turnaround was so fast, Chris, it was so radical. And it changed my perspective. It really felt like I had lifted all this weight that I was carrying on my shoulders. You know, I was kind of excited to just live again. I had, you know, I had like a twinkle in my eye. I had passion. I was motivated. And the first thing I did was to tell Amber, I said, this is exactly what our, you know, my teammates need. I know a lot of them were suffering. A lot of them were reaching out and trying to figure out where they can get help. And so we just wanted to pay it forward. That's really all we wanted to do. And we had no idea it was going to turn into where we're at today.
Let me talk about just before we get onto the foundation, let me talk about that, just that experience a little bit more. Tell me what the drug was called, Ibogaine. I guess, do we call it a drug?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you how you classify it, a medicine, a drug. You know, it is a, I think, I don't know, I guess they're all the same, right? But it's, yeah, it's a molecule. And it's extracted from the iboga root, which grows in West Africa. And it, you know, it's been used in certain African cultures for thousands of years for rites of passage, for, you know, stomach ailments, for mental health. And it's also being studied for addiction. So opioid addiction, alcohol use disorder. What the drug does, like many of the other classic psychedelics, you know, puts you into a an awakened dream state. So, you know, it's very powerful. You can't, you know, you can't move, you can't walk around on it. You have to be lying down in a bed. You put eye shades on. You have music on, usually noise canceling headphones. So you're kind of in your own world, and it flashes really your life before you. You really can't. The joke is you can't hide from the medicine. It's going to pull out what it needs to. And the things that are affecting you in your subconscious, maybe that you're not even thinking about, the things that are affecting you in your daily life, the drug actually makes you go back and potentially revisit those. So you revisit potentially childhood traumas, or you visit, you know, wartime traumas, and you deal with those. As you know, you can't overcome problems unless you deal with them head on. And that's what the drug does. And so you see these things play out in front of you in an awakened dream state. And when you deal with that, you're able to move on. You're able to kind of bury the hatchet, as you want to call it that. Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The trip, and I don't, that sounds pejorative, I'm not sure what else to call it.
Yeah, because it is.
I don't mean it to be pejorative, I just can't think of another word. How long does it last? Do you guide it? Does it guide you? Were there points where it was scary?
Absolutely. So I think all the above, Chris. You know, everybody's different. The proper preparation and set and setting is most important. You know, if you do this at a crazy environment, it's probably going to not be a good thing. And that's why, you know, these medicines really have to be controlled. But when it's done correctly and you have the right therapist and the medical team, you know, you go through a pretty intense, I want to call it, journey, where parts of it are scary because, you know, when they say like you're facing your demons, I think we've all heard that and we joke about that. You're actually doing that. So the demon could be, you know, heroin, or the demon can be judgment against your wife and your kids, or the demon can be anger, right? So you face whatever those are, And those can be scary. But when you deal with it, you see also this lift of like pure bliss. So after you deal with that scary, you know, moment, you feel the weight lifted off, and all of a sudden now you're you know, alive and you're happy and you're at peace. And so what can be a very traumatic, dark, bad, quote unquote, trip at some points, all of a sudden turns into this beautiful relief, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. And now, is it sort of like does it feel like a hard reset, or is there some sort of maintenance therapy?
No, it's a complete reset. It disrupts your default mode in certain ways. So your default mode, you and I, you know, we're protected. It protects us. You know, the oven's hot. Don't touch the oven. You touch it one time, you're not going to do it again. Or you have these rumination thoughts, you know, I'm no good. I can't do anything right. Nobody likes me. I walk in a room with a lot of people, everyone's staring at me, right? These are the thoughts that keep going on in our minds. We've all had them. Some of them, of course, for people are really bad and they need to take medicine for that. Well, the psychedelic medicine cuts that thought pattern, and it allows you to move away from that thought pattern and generate new thought patterns that can be positive. And that's the power of some of these medicines.
Go ahead.
I could also interject here, I think Marcus was actually not insinuating that pejorative was not the right term. He was insinuating that it really is a trip. It's like a trip through your past, a trip through your subconscious, a trip into what you want your future to be. It certainly is this experience that is like none other. I'd also say that Marcus has put in a ton of hard work on the other side of it. So it's certainly, it felt like a miracle cure at the time because nothing had worked. And this was so rapid and so intense and so effective. It certainly seemed like a panacea, but some of Marcus's hardest days came after the journey because he was still processing. And so by continuing to go back to the well and find, you know, and really deal with the things that were affecting him subconsciously, working with a coach, a therapist, someone trained in psychedelic integration, instilling new lifestyle habits and shifts, like developing a meditation practice, being more mindful, becoming healthy and exercising, eating right. You know, all of these things were possible following the psychedelic experience. And that's what's carried him through. 5 years later, he still continues to improve. And by the way, there's no finish line on this journey, on this trip. It's a continual improvement for the rest of his life. But psychedelics got him from a really dark, sort of self-destructive place back on his feet, and he's taken it from there.
What's the pushback from either one of you? Is it concern, the pushback in terms of why this stuff is illegal in the United States? Is it concerns about safety, ignorance, concerns about efficacy, or is it just, you know, the stigma of we don't want you getting high?
Yeah. Good.
I would say it's probably both. I would say it's probably rooted in lack of education. These substances were grouped alongside heroin, crack cocaine, methamphetamine. The Controlled Substances Act of 1970 basically shut down all research, which was very promising, by the way. But the counterculture movement of the 60s certainly lent itself to where we're at today with this, you know, half century of research completely lost. I think that once we can destigmatize psychedelics and humanize the messaging, get the data flowing again, science will prove that they are far more efficacious than anything currently available. And I think that, you know, the other pushback would be these treatments are like once in a lifetime to once a year. You know, they're very infrequent. And when you have lifetime subscribers to the pharmaceutical model, that's a threat in a very different way.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah. Do you think that there's, to be cynical about it, is there behind the scenes or not behind the scenes pushback from pharma against this stuff? It's against their financial interests, certainly.
I'm going to answer that and I'll let answer it. At the heart of it, I want to think that people are good people, Chris. And I think that all the drug, I think what pharma is going to do is going to say, okay, here's a new drug that works. We're going to figure out a way to get involved. Right. I don't think they're going to say, well, we're going to continue pushing Prozac and other, antidepressants and mood stabilizers down people's throats because, that's the way we can make money. I think if there's something that comes to market that works, I think they're just going to figure out a way to get involved. Right. So I don't think there's any nefarious activity, but that's my own
the hope, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it might actually be, it could be a good thing. If Acme Drug Company comes up with a way to, safely and cheaply produce this stuff, then maybe so much the better. There's this Colorado ballot initiative. That I guess, it's a crack in the door that could legalize magic mushrooms, and then maybe down the road, stuff like ibogaine and mescaline and other drugs. That has to be at least hopeful to you.
There are certainly elements of the Colorado measure or the Oregon measure or other state regulated access programs that are in talks that are very, very exciting to us. Things at the federal level move very slowly. And so I think it's important that states start moving on this, and that will hopefully ramp up some pressure at the federal level to take a real hard look at this. I think veterans are at the forefront because everyone can agree that after 20 years of sustained combat and our absolutely atrocious veteran suicide epidemic, that we need something new. We certainly are more of the mindset that these therapies and experiences need to be approached in a safe and controlled setting with trained medical professionals. Sourcing and dosing is so important. Set and setting is so important. Prep and integration are so important. So there are elements of some of these state initiatives that are somewhat problematic in terms of, maybe they wouldn't necessarily offer that sort of insulated setting. But we also are hearing the other side of the argument, which is, well, if it becomes too medicalized, then it'll lose some of its potency as well. So that's a debate that's down the road. But yeah, the state's acting is, we feel, a very, very positive thing.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, Chris, the other argument to that is that if it becomes too medicalized, will, marginalized communities or communities that can't afford these, will they be able to have access? So if we, if we make these, if they go completely medical and then insurance is not covering them, well, then who benefits from this, right? It's only individuals that have money and that can pay for these treatments. So I think we have to be really careful because I think we will fail as a nation if these are only offered for people who can pay $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 a pop. That's just, it's not going to work that way.
Yeah. I mean, there could be a no man's land where it's decriminalized, but insurance isn't quite on board yet. So yeah, I see what you're saying. It may be another step or two or three beyond that where it's widely available. In the meantime, you guys have started this organization called VETS, Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions. Tell me what you're doing to get people access to this stuff.
As Marcus mentioned earlier, one of the first things he said to me after I saw him following his ibogaine journey was, this is exactly what my teammates need. And we didn't really know what that would look like, but we started raising money for our friends. Of course, we were doing this without 501c3 status, without a real clear indication of what the efficacy rates would be or if the results would last. And so for about a year, we had this grassroots movement where we really didn't want to talk about it. Our community was struggling, but it was also at that point very stigmatized to say we're struggling. And at about the 11 and a half month mark of this, we wanted 1 year to go by before we would be courageous enough to speak out or take next steps. One of Marcus's former teammates and one of my best friend's husbands took his life. And from that point forward, we just decided, this is it. We've got to speak out. We've got to figure this out. And so we put together a dedicated organization, which is now VETS. We obtained our 501c3 status, and we provide funding for other veterans who unfortunately are having to leave our country to travel abroad for access to meaningful care. We provide funding for 6 different psychedelic modalities, and we track outcomes stateside. We're involved in a few different research projects here. Then we pair the voices of these primarily special operations veterans alongside the data, and we are really starting to pick up our advocacy efforts primarily on Capitol Hill to really enact long-term change. We're very limited as an organization how many individuals we can help any given year, 150 to 250. There are hundreds of thousands of veterans that could benefit from this. So we're really compelled to move the needle on the legislative front.
Well, at the risk of getting you maybe a little more attention than you can handle at the time, go to vetsolutions.org if you want to help out the Capones in the organization, or if you need some help, or if you know somebody you need some help, you can at least use them as research for jumping off point for research. Marcus and Amber Capone, thank you very much. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and 4-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.